Amen. Good morning. Good to see everyone. Happy Thanksgiving week to you. Let's do it again. Happy Thanksgiving week to you. Okay, awesome. Awesome. This is a week to be thankful and grateful and all that good stuff. Amen. We're glad. Now, you guys know if you're visiting with us, you know, we're normally going through the book of Matthew. But this morning, I wanted to have a Thanksgiving message, and we're going to do communion. I just think that's fitting, you know. Amen? So let's do a lot of praying around here. Have you noticed? That's okay. That's great. So let's pray before we get going. Father, we do just stop for a second. Not worry about the time and the turkey and everything else that's waiting on us. But Lord, we just want to say thank you. Pauline Baptist Church, our family here, Lord, we are so thankful and grateful for you and your love and your grace and your mercy and sending your son to die on the cross for us, taking our place so that we can be children of God. We can go to heaven like the song was singing about. So we just pause for that. Lord, we love you. Lord, as always, I don't want this to become repetitious, but as always, Lord, we lift up our country and our military and our foreign missionaries. We lift them up in Jesus' name, Father, that you'll do what you need to do. In Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you and pray and help me through this message. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But as I mentioned, today is Thanksgiving week, the beginning of Thanksgiving week, and I really want to focus on four things this morning. Okay, and we're not going to take long. We want to hear from God's Word, always, right? We want to remember those less fortunate, and we want to celebrate communion together, and then we want to go back over there and eat some good food and Thanksgiving food and fellowship and hang out together and have some fun. Do those four things, right?
Amen.
Amen. So here at Pauline Baptist Church, just like any other Southern Baptist church, we believe, we teach, and we follow two ordinances of the church that's taught to us by Jesus Christ to follow. One is baptism and one is communion. Okay, as far as baptism, we believe that it is by immersion, which means that we're going to dunk you, right? So if you feel like led that you want to be baptized, please, please let me know. It's really it's just symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's a proclamation that you're making to everyone that you've decided to follow Jesus in your life. Now, this reminds me of a funny little story, and I know I've told this story before, but it's worth repeating. Several years ago, it reminds me of Sam Houston. Okay, Sam Houston was the founding father of Texas, and he was a tough soldier, a politician, and a businessman. He was a big fella, he was a tall man, and he was real rough and tough kind of guy. He was a drunk and a fighter and a crazy frontiersman. Okay? And his nickname was Big Drunk. But his wife had prayed for him to get saved and start going to church. And at 61 years old, Sam Houston got saved. Gave his life to Christ. Now, one afternoon down at the river, there were hundreds of folks there. And he was baptized by his pastor. And after he came up out of the water, the preacher said, "Mr. Houston, all your sins have been washed away." And Sam Houston said, "If that be the case, God help the fish down below." Now, you know, that's a funny story. But the truth is, our sins can be washed away by God's grace through our faith in Jesus Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection That old rugged cross, the blood that flowed down the old rugged cross, it didn't really cover our sins. It washed them away. Don't ever think that your sins were like covered, like in the Old Testament days. No, there, I'm not going to throw this, you know. Anybody remember that day? But yeah, they were washed away. Your sins were cast as far as the east is the west, into the sea of forgetfulness. Man, we don't have that power to forget, but God does. So please let me know if you feel like you want to be baptized, if you want to join the church. You know, please let me know. But today, as a Christian family, we'll be partaking of the Lord's Supper, as they say. Now, after the little message we have here in a few minutes, we're going to take communion together. So, if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 100. Darius going to have it up on the board. Psalm 100. Let's read it. And this is a psalm for giving thanks, by the way, so it's a very popular scripture for this season. It says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." Everybody said amen?
Amen.
Amen. So this morning, what I want to do is I really want to focus on verse 4 and verse 5. All right? So I'm going to read it again, just to kind of set it up. "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is what? The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." Wow, we could preach for 5 Sundays on that one scripture. Hey, and we all know that when it talks about entering His gates, it certainly means that one day we're going to enter the gates of heaven. Right? One day soon, we're going to enter those pearly gates. And I'm sure their hearts will be grateful, just full of gratitude. And we'll be thankful whenever we get to heaven, like we've never felt in our life. I mean, Revelation 21:21 says this. Revelation 21:21. "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of one single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass." We can't even really think about that. We can't even really imagine what heaven's really going to be like. Okay, and we'll be there. Heaven's going to be great. I'm thinking about that old song we used to sing, "Looking for the City." Remember? Anybody remember that? No? Sing it with me. "Looking for the city, set upon a hill." Come on, Danny. You know what I'm talking about. Right? I can't sing. But the word, what's that? Whatever, dude. I was in Lena and I were on a cruise one time, praise the Lord, and we were in the Caribbean somewhere. We went on this little tiny island off the boat, and went in this tiny little bathroom in this Caribbean island out in the middle of the Caribbean, somewhere out there, you know. And I go to the bathroom and I hear Vesta Goodman on the radio inside the bathroom. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Goodman's? It's an old gospel group from way back. And I was like, that can't be. And come find out, I talked to, what's his name? Waft over here? You know what I'm talking about. Waft, huh? Yeah, Bill Tidwell. I was talking to Bill one day and he's, oh yeah, man, we got a station over there. Praise the Lord. Let me give some more money to them. Right? Because they're spreading the gospel all over, man. I mean, they really have a great ministry. Why am I talking about this? Help of Jesus. The gates. When it talks about gate in the Hebrew, okay, gate means basically four things. Now think about this. This gate. It means that first one is an entrance way. Second is a public meeting place. The third one is a palace or a temple or tabernacle court. And then the fourth one in the Hebrew, fourth, it finally talks about heaven. So I really believe that it's more, this verse, this scripture is really, really more talking about now and here and where we're at and today. The last meaning of it was heaven. And the first three have to do with a gathering place. A place where people come to worship and learn about God. So, each door of this church building is a gate. The front door, the side door, the Sunday school door, the back door, the other back door. Each one of these doors is a gate coming in to the house of God. Now, I know the Holy Spirit dwells within us, but it's a gate. We should enter into this place with a heart of gratitude. Each one of us, myself and everyone else, should enter this gate, no matter where you enter in, should check our heart at the door. Right? Check our heart. Make sure we have a heart of gratitude, appreciation, thanksgiving. You should enter into this place with a thankful heart, a grateful heart. Now, verse 5. Move on to verse 5. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Everybody say, all generations.
All generations.
All generations. See these young men up here? All generations. One day, talking about Zach and Sane up here, raise your hand. One day, God will bring them their little wives, right? One day. Yeah. And then they'll have children, right? And then they'll have children. I mean, some of you know what I mean. You see this. You see this. If you don't see it now, you just keep believing and you keep praying. You'll see it. God says to every generation. This verse basically means God is good. God is kind. God is faithful. He's faithful forever and ever and ever to every generation. I'm not making this up just to try to pump you up, to make you feel good, you know, or encourage you. Which I like to do that. But this is God's words telling us, be faithful in praying for your children. And your grandchildren, never give up on them. Always continue to pray for them and read this verse, pray this verse over them. See, as we enter into this Thanksgiving week, remember, be mindful. Let us remember that we're entering to these gates. Wherever we gather, let's honor the Lord by having an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of thankfulness. And let's be
appreciate what he's given us. Let's continue loving God by loving others. Let's continue serving God by serving others. Let us be mindful about the needs of those unfortunate. Those that have less, that are hurting, that need something. Let us not be the ones who, you know, the children need shoes and we say, we'll be praying for you, brother. Nope. And this is a super loving church. So don't take this any way that I'm just reminding us all, right? Just be grateful and be thankful for what God has given us. Let's share with others. Let's count our blessings. In this verse, God is really encouraging us to count our blessings. Be grateful. I am grateful. I am so thankful for our personal family. Our three boys and our grandchildren, our six grandchildren, they're all healthy right now. I thank God for that. That may change in the future, and I hope that I'll have the ability to still thank God and still be grateful, right? We just celebrated a little. Anna, our granddaughter, turned 4 a few days ago, and we went to that little birthday party and celebrated. She is so cute. I wish I could throw a picture up there. But everybody's grandchildren are cute, aren't they? Well, we had a chance to go and spend a little birthday party with her. And man, it's great. I am so grateful. I am so grateful and thankful for my church family, for you guys. You guys are full of so much love and grace and understanding. You have such a servant's heart. You're always doing something and helping others and working behind the scenes. Every one of you. A lot of you don't get any of the credit that you probably deserve, but I know you don't do it for credit. You know, you don't do it to be recognized. But just thank you so much. Amen. I thank God every day for America. That we live in America. And you hear me talk about that a lot, but my little military guy up here, you know, I put him up there. He's a little soldier with a communication thing. He's helping me communicate, you know. That reminds me to always be thankful and grateful that we live in America. I believe that America still is the land of opportunity. I still believe that God has blessed America and that He's still blessing America in spite of all of our wickedness and all of our craziness going on. I still am patriotic through and through. I've been, like Gary said, a lot of places around the world, and I would only want to live here. Canada's cool too. I had to say that for my Canadian family. Amen. However, as great as America is, we still have problems. There are still families, there are still people out there that are struggling, there are people that are hurting. I'd like to thank the women's ministry. Kelly's not here, but a lot of you guys know what I mean. The ladies of our church got together past Wednesday, and took a bunch of food and a lot of love over to this place in Lake Park called the House of Hope. The House of Hope. It's like a halfway house recovery home for women. I don't know, what was it? How many women were there? I guess 20? 10 to 20, something like that. A lot of ladies. You wouldn't believe all the messages I got. Texts, Facebook messages, thanking us and how much they really, really appreciated the women coming out there. You ladies. Lots of love. You never know. You might impact somebody's life forever and ever and ever. So thank you guys. As a church, we must never, ever forget the Great Commission. and the great commandment. These are Jesus' marching orders for us, for our church. This is our mission. Someone once asked me one time, what's the mission statement of Pauline Baptist Church? Kind of caught me off guard a little bit, caught a couple other men off guard a little bit. Because really, it's pretty simple. It's what Jesus told us to do. Yeah, I knew this guy's heart, and maybe he was looking for something fancy business-type mission statement. I'll tell you what the mission statement of Pauline Baptist Church is what Jesus told us to do. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, the good news, right? To disciple people and to love God and love people. That's it. Jesus summed it all up, didn't he? Think about that. That's very simple. And I like to keep things simple. So if you're interested in what Pauline Baptist Church, our mission statement, what we're really all about, is going into all the world, which includes Brooks County and the surrounding counties, right? The state of Georgia, United States of America, and around the world, preaching and teaching the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And then, we're going to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Great commandment and the Great Commission. That's what it's really about, guys. I truly, truly believe that it means to love our neighbors and to love our world as much as we know how. Everybody listening? Here we go. Almost finished. We must never forget. We should always remember our children, our youth, and our elderly. Still praying for someone that's feeling called to lead and senior adult ministry here. God will bring them at the right time. Amen. I'm going to brag on Mary Ann just a minute. I thought she might be here. But she's probably serving back there, doing something. Mary Ann, most of you probably know, and some of you don't, but she's, there's a RevWell class. It's like a fitness class for women, but it's more than fitness, right? Spiritual. I mean, it's really the whole shebang. And it's a beautiful ministry. And now she's starting to take that ministry out to other places, and she's been going to Fellowship Home. Some of you don't know about that. It's like a senior living, maybe a nursing home, senior living, you know, And she's been going and doing some work and ministry with the elderly ladies out there. I'm sure there's a couple men, maybe, I'm not sure. But she's been volunteering and going out there pretty regularly now. And it's just a beautiful thing. It's just awesome. Thank God that God's called her to do that, and she's being faithful with what God's calling her to do. Because really what the Bible says is how beautiful is the feet of those who carry the good news of the gospel. And that's what she's doing. So that's a beautiful thing. Now, I've listed some things, but above all of these things, I am very grateful for my Savior, Jesus Christ. Kind of Romans 5:8 sums it up. It says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Make this personal. I want to encourage you sometimes when you're reading and studying your Bible, if something resonates with you or something becomes rhema and jumps out at you, right, and ministers to your spirit, I want you to go back and I want you to read it again, but use the I statements. Like here, but God demonstrates His own love toward me, and that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. When you do that, when you start adding those I statements to it, it really helps it take it to another level. So as a church family, we're going to honor God right now by partaking in communion together. And I'm aware of the time. I really did try to make this short, but God's good, right? It's okay. So we're going to move into the communion time right now. So if the deacons could come down and prepare the Lord's table. I appreciate that. Everyone else could stand. Thank you. All right, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we just come to you today as humble as we know how. We just do our best to humble ourselves and just rest in your grace, knowing that we are not worthy to even do this, but we know we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that you are worthy and you are righteous. So we just take this time today to honor the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son. Fathers, we look upon these emblems of our Savior's death. May we remember why he died. He died to cleanse us, to heal us, to forgive us, to take our place on the cross, to satisfy your righteousness and justice. Today we remember this eternal love and this boundless grace. May we receive the assurance of forgiveness, of eternal life, and the hope of glory. And Father, as this bread and cup nourish our body, so may your indwelling Holy Spirit strengthen our soul until the day of Christ's appearing. And then we will hunger and thirst no more and sit with him at his heavenly table. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, Amen. Amen. You may be seated.